It's attitude at the end of the day. I felt like we four-man rushed him a lot of the times during the game, and then certain situations, you know, he going to throw a five-man in there where the linebackers blitz, like N'Kobe got the blitz as I'm dropping, you know, so really it's like a four-man, but you think it's like a five-man coming. But it's like, yeah, it's just like it worked out well. Everybody sold what they were supposed to sell to get guys through, and, you know, they didn't they took away their first read in the back end, and that's what happened, too. When he had nowhere to go, that was a sack.
Dominant defense on Sunday, back-to-back games without allowing a touchdown. Welcome back, Midday Show. Voice of BG last night, Brandon Graham's show. Howard asking the question. So here's what I'm wondering. Is this defense for real? Because the last 2 weeks, I mean, not allowing a touchdown in back-to-back weeks is very rare in the NFL. Hugh Brandon mentioned there that they got the rush with just four. In fact, all eight of their sacks on Sunday were just a four-man pressure. Obviously, they rotated, so it was different guys in there. But it was no blitz. Like, it was four-man pressure. That's when the Eagles are at their best. I mean, that, like, you go to 2022, you go to 2017, they're at their best when they just can get home with four. Hugh, the pass rush stunk to start the season. Now it's on a heater. Is this for real?
I think it is. I think that part of that is because you got them young Thundercats back there, man. You know, and they're not afraid. Sometimes ignorance is bliss. You know, and we always talk about the matchups and you know, who's going to do what and yada, yada, yada. Those young cats just want to play, man. And I think that has been the biggest difference. You know, we go back to that game against Tampa Bay, and one of the things that stuck out to all of us was the fact that it was a pitch-and-catch situation.
Yeah.
You're talking about Godwin and who was it?
Evans.
They were just catching and running, doing whatever they wanted to do. These guys are challenging receivers now, and I think that's important to do. Don't give them free releases. Come up on the line of scrimmage. Give your defense a chance, and I think that has paid dividends for them. The only knock that I would have on this young defense is watch the ball. Seeing a lot of offside, some of these guys getting out of position and everything like that. They gave Daniel Jones one time a free play, and we got an interception, and it was negated because we were offside.
Yep.
So just don't do things like that. But I think that they're in a good space right now, and they got some young guys out there that are getting after the quarterback.
So that's the last piece of the puzzle. They haven't generated turnovers, but they've played better, so much better the last 2 weeks defensively. 13 sacks in 2 weeks is an enormous amount. I know they've played some bad quarterbacks and offensive line. Here's what I feel strongly about. We're heading in the right direction on defense. Like, you could squint and see a good defense coming together. Now, are they going to be ranked a top 10 defense when the season ends? I don't know. Probably not, considering they have to play all these really good quarterbacks coming out. They're going to give up some yards, give up some points. But, Hugh, I could squint and start to see a good defense coming together as time goes on. They have a lot, to use your word, Thundercats, right? Between
Thundercats.
Quinyon Mitchell, who looks the part, Cooper DeJean. I mean, since they got him in the lineup, they're stopping everybody. Get Devontae out of there, put him in there. It's working. And then you go to the interior of the defense. They got some young players that are, obviously Jalen Carter can play. We know that. But finally, we're seeing some life out of the edge rushers. That's the biggest difference
now.
You know, between Nolan Smith and Bryce Huff and even Jalex Hunt getting a little run at the end of the game on Sunday. Finally, there's some life there that maybe they've got something with these kids.
Yeah, pressure out of the bus pipes and makes diamonds, man. It's one of those things. It's no in-between. And I think that with everything that has happened with this team, you know, the negative press, if you will, the fact that their coach is under siege, these guys have responded to that. And I'm okay with it. You know, I remember going into the season every year, and I would try to find something to motivate me, no matter what it was. It was playing against Orlando Pace. Oh, that's, we got to get the season started with that. Oh, making up stuff, you know, as far as the game is concerned. I remember John Rand used to say that all the time. He used to do stuff like that all the time. So you have to find things that motivate you. And I think they found it. And that's okay. That is okay. As long as they're playing well, we'll be the bad guys. Bring your kids to the meeting. Bring your kids to the press conferences and let people talk bad. I mean, yeah, but if it gets people to talk bad about you, go for it.
Well, I also think at some point we may have to give some credit to Vic Fangio. You know, he may have put his system in to where they're playing more freely now. Because the first few weeks we wondered, like, is this making a real difference having Vic Fangio here? Last 2 weeks, they've been excellent. If they go to Cincinnati on Sunday and play a good game, Man, that's a credit to Vic Fangio, because he was brought here to make a difference, and the first few weeks didn't seem like it made that much of a difference.
It took a minute for them to turn the corner, but yeah. I'm still, you know, I'm still looking at him sideways.
Still?
About Bryce Huff. A little bit, yeah.
13 sacks last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I give him props, but you need – the guy is a pass rusher.
Mm-hmm.
Let him pass rush. If he does nothing else. He played the run pretty decent. You know what's funny? Watching Bryce now, the game's starting to slow. It hasn't slowed all the way down for him, but he's trying to identify, because I saw him out there last week as I move my hand and do all these hand gestures that nobody can see. He was trying to sift through the blocking scheme to see how to rush. He needs to do it a little bit faster, but I saw him trying to process what he was seeing out there on the field.
The hard part to kind of just like throw your hands around this and say, yes, it is this, is the opponent and the way the game went on Sunday.
Yeah.
Right, when
yeah.
you're up three scores, you could pin your ears back and let Bryce Huff rush the quarterback. When you're in more back and forth games, it's a little more challenging.
Yeah, it is. And that's the thing that this offense has to help them out. They have yes. to play complementary football. This defense, we have the ability to get to the quarterback. You have to make offenses one-dimensional.
215-592-9495. Let's get back to the phone lines here. Are you ready to say the Eagles have turned the corner after back-to-back wins and really good efforts, especially this one against the Giants? I mean, they dominated that game from start to finish. The defense has been better. They're running the football. Are you ready to say they've turned the corner? Hugh is. Kyle is. I'm not there yet. I need to see it against a good opponent, a good quarterback, which they'll get Sunday in the Cincinnati Bengals. And, of course, we also have Hugh's Clues for a chance at a $50 gift card to the Klondike Kate's Restaurant and Saloon in Newark, Delaware. We're going to do our show there Thursday from 10 to 2, KlondikeKates.com. David in Doyle sent us up. Hey, David.
David.
Hey, what's up, my man?
What's hey, David. On, what's man? Up, pal?
Yeah, I think we've definitely turned the corner. I like, you know, the Thundercats on defense. I think it's going to step up. I hope they keep Jalen under center more in that pistol formation, and that'll just, you know, avoid, you know, that shotgun stuff that he does when he rolls to the right. That'll come back when we need it more, I think, if we stay in the center and get in that pistol.
One thing is variety. I think that's – it helps when you have multiple sets and multiple fronts that you can come out in and keep
yes,
the
sir.
Defenses guessing. That's my thought about it.
That's what I think.
Well, hey, David, go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, I just wanted to say something to Hugh.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You know, Hugh, it's okay. You don't have to sexualize a hot dog. You can eat it, man. You can enjoy it. That's the way a hot dog is supposed to be eaten. Don't eat it with a fork.
A lot of girth. What just happened?
I don't know.
Wait a minute.
Is that your Hughes Clues guest, David?
No, that's not my.
Sounded like his Clues. Daily Douglas.
Yeah, you know what? Maybe
wait
it was.
A minute.
Hey, I like this. Callers start giving Hugh their Daily Douglases.
Wait a minute. We do that with the hot dogs.
I don't. I mean, I don't know what you're doing.
You're afraid to eat hot dogs.
No, I just don't. I just don't eat hot dogs.
Yes.
Well, I thought, wait, don't
but
you
that
have,
doesn't mean I'm,
wait, you
that
have the baseball
mean I'm
games.
Sexualizing
let's
them?
Break down why, Hugh.
No, but
let's not. Let's not.
It's because they're phallic.
No, I just don't believe it. Like, you should break them off.
Oh, that's what this
no,
is about.
It's about,
yeah,
it's
you should
about
break them off.
The
wait,
shape,
hold
Hugh.
On, hold
we
on,
all
hold
know.
On. Time out. Do
what?
You break apart hot dogs?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I don't believe in putting
oh,
no hot
so,
dog
oh,
in my
Joe,
mouth.
You weren't here. Yeah. You weren't here for this.
We, well,
with,
yeah,
TK, with TK, we dove into this. Hugh has to break up hot dogs. He's afraid that kids are going to make fun of him for eating a hot dog, you know, normally.
What do you mean, kids? You mean like teenagers?
Well, we all act like children, so
no, yeah, but
that,
like,
that
but
fits.
If you eat a hot dog with a child, they'll eat a hot dog with you
yeah,
because
Hugh's,
it's food.
I don't eat hot dogs.
Hugh's worried about
I don't break. I break
the law.
David, thank you for bringing this up.
David,
I missed this. They didn't fill me in on that nonsense from
David,
that day.
David, thank you for listening because we did that a while ago.
David, what's your guess for Hugh's Clues, David?
Oh, I don't have a good guess. I mean,
it could have been you know, hot dogs. I mean,
I'm
yeah,
just going to throw it out there. I'm going to throw the obvious answer out there. I'm just going to say Terrell Owens.
Terrell Owens, David, good guess. See,
that's not a bad
people
guess.
People are just guessing things you may have ripped before. We're going to get the second clip.
But I haven't ripped T.O.
No, not really.
No.
So we got to.
No, I mean,
I've ripped him from misremembering.
Yeah, we got to work on this hot dog situation.
Did you punch T.O. in the face in the locker room?
Boy, that's funny.
What do you do in a baseball game?
When I eat a glizzy, I break it up.
You break it up.
Yeah, it's like I don't.
But
I'm
you
not
don't have a plate.
Hot,
you don't have like. What do you do
no,
with it?
when you get them from the game, they come in the little containers.
Or all right, yeah, the container or wrapper.
I break them up.
Break them up.
I just don't understand.
It's like bite-sized pieces.
Yeah, it's like little bite-sized pieces. Yeah, you know, hot dog. No. We ain't about to do all that. We ain't doing that.
Everyone does all that. It's a hot dog.
No, most people don't.
Hold on.
No, that's ridiculous.
Time out. You think most people break up their hot dogs?
Yes.
I think you're absolutely crazy.
I would say 72%.
Not a chance.
That's a poll.
There's not a chance that 72% of guys, adults.
Yes, they break their hot dogs.
No
they don't
way.
Eat the whole hot dog.
I'll say guys. Do you break up your hot dogs before you eat them?
No.
Yes.
Of course not. What?
They do. 72%.
I debated asking a question, but I'm going to let it be. I'm just going to let it be because I don't want to know the answer. 215-592.
Ask it in the break.
94-94. That's exactly what I'll do. All right, coming up, we'll get back to your phone calls here. Your guesses for Hughes Clues. We got to get you a second clue on the other side for Hughes Clues. We got a $50 gift card to Klondike Kate's Restaurant and Saloon in Newark. We're doing our show there this Thursday. Come on out and hang out with us with your $50 gift card. First clue today is something Hugh has ripped on the air. That is first clue. Second clue coming up here. Are you ready to say today, Tuesday, what is the date? I always forget the date. 22nd, Tuesday, October 22nd, with a 4-2 record that the Eagles have turned the corner. Are you there? On the other side, your phone calls, and we'll let you hear the Nick Sirianni interview this morning, including he was asked, is this now a running team? Are the Eagles a running team? You're going to love the answer from Nick Sirianni coming up next. 215-592-9494. It's the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP. The NBA is back, and FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, is America's number one sportsbook. They want you to catch all the action. Right now, FanDuel is giving all users 3 months of NBA League Pass. All you have to do is to catch every tip-off and buzzer beater is place any $5 bet. So many teams. We're excited to watch this season. Of course, Philadelphia here opening tomorrow night in Milwaukee. Will Victor Wembanyama take the leap in San Antonio? And who will be the big surprise? New to FanDuel? Just visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to get 3 months of NBA League Pass courtesy of FanDuel. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NBA. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP. Welcome back, Midday Show. Not sure if this changes about how we're eating hot dogs or the Eagles. It's about something, though. Coming up in a few minutes, we'll bring you the Nick Sirianni interview this morning with Joe and John on the morning show, including the question, are you guys a running team? I loved the answer, and especially John Ritchie's reaction to it.
Yeah, he was excited.
He was. We'll bring you that coming up in a few minutes.
This is really... Yeah. He probably was about to go.
I think we might have a new drop board with Richie with the reaction to Sirianni this morning. All right, let's get back to the phones first. 215-592-9494. Are you ready to say the Eagles have turned the corner? I'm not. I mean, we gotta get a real significant victory over a good team and a good quarterback. Then I'll be there. But they're certainly moving in the right direction. Hugh's ready to say it. Kyle's ready to say it. And Hugh's clues. Hugh, why don't we give people a second clue here to chew on? We have a $50 gift card to Klondike Kate's Restaurant and Saloon in Newark, Delaware. So clue one was something you've ripped before on the show.
Yeah, I've ripped it a lot.
How about clue number two?
It originated in Cincinnati, Ohio.
All right, originated in Cincinnati, Ohio.
You originated in Cincinnati, Ohio.
No, Ike originated. No. I'm from a small town called Mansfield, Ohio. From like the rural area.
Where is that in terms of the state? Near Cleveland?
It's right between Columbus and Cleveland.
Got it. Okay.
So I'm like in the halfway. I'm like in the heart of Ohio, where I'm from.
Is anyone else famous from Mansfield, Ohio? Or are you the most famous person from Mansfield, Ohio?
I don't think I'm the most. No. What's the dude that played on, was it Beverly Hills 90210?
There was a bunch of them, right? There was like five.
Yeah, one of them is from where I'm from.
Oh, how about that? All right.
I can't remember his name.
We got to dive.
He passed a few years ago.
Oh, I do remember who you're talking about.
He's from Mansfield.
All right, we'll find this list of people from Mansfield.
So far, you're the most recognizable name here.
I mean, you're certainly on the list.
No, yeah. he's the dude from 90210 was the big dog. He was the guy. I can't remember his name.
All right, we'll remember.
Sounds
this.
Like you're more memorable than this guy.
Luke Perry.
Luke Perry, Luke that's Perry. His name. Yeah. Yeah, that's him.
Yep. All right, 215-592-949. Let's grab Rick, and then we will let you hear the Sirianni interview. Rick in Toms River says he has seen you eat a hot dog, Hugh Douglas. What's up, Rick?
Hey, what's up, guys? Love your show. I'm Hugh.
Yes.
You just explained it. You're guilty. In Columbus, Ohio, there's a lot of Nathans. I saw you order a hot dog.
without a bun and ate it with your hands behind your back.
You know what's funny? That is so not true. And there are no
I believe it, Rick. I believe
there's
it.
No Nathans in Columbus.
I believe. You think Rick would come on the air and lie?
Yes.
Come on.
Hugh, I'm just kidding with you. No, I didn't see you eat a hot dog. But the Eagles have not turned anything around. Sirianni is a jackass. He doesn't know what he's doing. Browns and Giants. Like, come on, are we ridiculous thinking they turned the corner? Put up a good team and watch. Dallas will beat them. I'm an Eagle fan, but Dallas will beat them, and we'll be like, oh, what the hell happened? That's just what happens, right, guys?
It certainly could. I mean, Rick, the next 6 weeks it's really challenging. The Jaguars are the only game the next 6 weeks that it feels like, all right, you know, they'll win that game here, but Cincinnati, challenging. At Dallas, although I don't think Dallas is very good, it's on the road, challenging. You know, Washington, the Rams.
And they're going to be trying to turn this season
around,
too.
Of course. Yeah, we got a lot of challenges up ahead. Hopefully we can win enough of them to stay where we need to be. All right, Rick, give us a guess for Hugh's Clues. What are we talking about today?
I'm thinking like a Chickie and Pete's gift card for $50.
Well, you know, we would no. It's that was a.
I think he was trying to say that's what he wanted.
Yeah,
I
mean, what is wrong with him?
Rick, that's not what we.
Not how Hugh's Clues works.
No, we can. We appreciate the phone call. I like that you did see Hugh eat a hot dog in Columbus, Ohio.
Allegedly.
But we're not looking for a place you want a gift card. We're giving one away to Klondike Kate's Saloon restaurant.
Shout out to Chicken Piece anyway. Yes. He made some meatloaf yesterday with the potatoes.
They gave you meatloaf?
Yeah.
Well, how was that?
You have to break
I
that
haven't
up.
Had a chance to. No, you know what? I haven't had a chance to eat it.
Did you break
but
it
I
up?
Have to go to Delaware because I left it in the wrong refrigerator. I'm in between spaces right now. So I got to go.
This is
it.
Our my new favorite Hugh bit. He went from having no homes to having two places to live.
I got two spots now. I got two spots. I'm in between, but I can't wait
I'm telling you, you laughed at me last week when I said you're going to do this. There's going to be a time when you fully move that you're going to go back to the old place by accident.
It might happen.
Yeah, and they're going to say to you, get out of here.
What the hell are you doing?
We don't want you here anymore.
What are you doing? They can't wait for me to leave, too. You talk about some folks that can't wait for me to leave.
They're done with you?
Oh, the parking staff especially.
I'm not surprised based on your history.
They definitely
All right, speaking of done with, a lot of people around here were done with Nick Sirianni last week, but he did win a game, and here he was this morning with Joe DeCamera and John Ritchie.
The aforementioned 4-2 head coach of the Birds, Nick Sirianni. Good morning, Nick.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning,
Coach.
Nick. So, Nick, a moment like that, Saquon reacting that way, we heard you post-game fired up. I mean, what he has brought to this team, if you could just talk about, holy mackerel, on the field, off the field, I mean, he just seems like a superstar player in human.
Yeah, he's before you even talk about the play, you just talk about the teammate, the person, the work that he puts in. There's a reason he is who he is, right? Success is not an accident, and you see it firsthand. But great teammate, you heard it right there. You know, had an opportunity to set his career high of rushing yards, you know, probably against a team that he really wanted to do it against. And wanted the other guys to go out there and finish the job and get their carries and get their touches. So that speaks a lot about him. Obviously, his play thus far this season has been awesome as advertised. He really broke out in last game and really had a play that helped break out on offense that got us going. And just can't say enough about the person, can't say enough about the player. Can't tell you how thrilled I am that he's an Eagle.
Nick, let's talk about this win in the context of you. And I am going to predict that your answer is going to be no, but I'm going to ask the question because I'm fascinated. Did this win mean more to you personally? Not for the team's record, which we know a win is a win. But on a personal level, when you're in the eye of the storm like you were last week, does it mean more for you when you get a win in that context?
Yeah, you guessed it. no, you know, it's you know, every game's so important. Every game is we're going out there and putting everything we have. It's like it's such a unique sport because you put everything you have into it for an entire week. That's a lot of work that goes into it by a lot of different people. And, you know, you're obviously devastated every time you lose. And when you win, you're thrilled. And then it moves on to the next one. And so you always try to stay in the moment. You know, always want our players to think, hey, how do I be in this moment? How can I control the things I can control, and that's my work, and that's my attitude. Mm. And that was the only thing that was focused on, and I know our team was as well.
Well, how does it make you feel that your team showed the world that they have your back on Sunday?
Sure, I mean those are things you know during your all the relationships that you put in to, and all the time that you put into connecting and being part of a team. I think that this team has each other's back, right? Forget my back, though. This team has each other's back. And that's because all the time they spend together, through practice, through, hanging out together, through off the field, through on the field, competing against each other. And so, and that's something that you're always trying, and that's what's so cool. Each and every year is you're trying to gel the team together, and that's what your hope is, because you just want to make sure you're playing better football as you continually go through the year, and the team and the connection is a big part of that. And so I just felt like it was a good week for us. We had our best week of practice, and
it was a second turnover free game for Jalen back to back. Why exactly was Jalen turning it over less? That was great to see.
Yeah, I obviously have a big emphasis on that, and Jalen's playing good football and, taking care of the football. It's really, you talk every week about the double positive. We talk about that every week. Did we win the explosive play battle, and did we win the turnover battle? Well, for the ball carriers, the guys, like Saquon and AJ and Kenny Gainwell, like when they get the ball in their hands, that's what they have to think of is, how do I secure this ball? How do I, all those different things. Well, Jalen is responsible for creating explosive plays and taking care of the football as, oh, by the way, these 300-pound guys and Dexter Lawrence, 300 whatever, he's huge, is trying to come down and crush him while he's trying to read a defense who's trying to deceive you. So his job is really difficult as far as, the quarterbacks are one of the hardest positions to play in all sports, in my opinion. The hardest position to play in all sports. And so, we want to be explosive, which we were, and we want to take care of the football, which we were. When we are able to do that, I know so much is put on him when we have a turnover, but when we're able to play turnover free, I mean, that's so much credit goes, it's a team sport, but so much credit goes to Jalen because of all the things he's asked to do on each and individual play. So I can't tell you how pleased I am with him and how he's taking care of the football. And you're only as good as your next game. So we're on that next game and seeing how Cincinnati takes it away and what we got to do to protect it against them as well.
Nick Sirianni here, as he is every Tuesday at this time. Nick, let's talk about two first half moments that I thought were tone setters, and I just loved it. The Saquon run on your first possession. He doesn't get the first down, but he does everything he possibly can to get as close to it. It reminded me of Walter Payton. He's just banging through dudes. It was incredible. And then Cooper DeJean, basically the same kind of thing on a punt return. I mean, it was just awesome. Can you describe what that does for a sideline when they see their teammates fighting like that?
Yeah, I mean, that's something that I know this team is physically tough, right? And I know that we're mentally tough, and I know we play with relentless effort. You're always talking about identity and, what our identity is as a football team. And one thing I know is that I know this is a close team, and I know this is a team that is just a physically tough team. And we talk about that. Where can you put your physical toughness on display? Well, you put your physical toughness on display, when you have a combination block to the linebacker. You put your toughness on display. There's a play where the tight end slices across and tries to block BG, and he knocks him back and puts him into the ball carrier. Put your physical toughness on display with how you tackle. Well, as a ball carrier, the running back, puts his toughness on display when he has the ball in his hands and what he does on the sideline. Some guys will step out of bounds and some guys will, put their shoulder down and finish a job for extra yards. And that is, and AJ had one like that too. It wasn't like where he had to lower his shoulder, but they were ripping at the ball and he got five extra yards. And so, those are when you pride yourself in being a physically tough team, those are things that really, they're going to be shown in the team meeting on Monday. And those are things that really get the sideline pumped, because it's like, hey, I mean, this man tried to tackle that man and he got push back. And that is that's what's so awesome about this game is, you know, man versus man, and you know, and Saquon and Coop on the sidelines finished and got extra yards, and you know, Saquon got about 5 extra yards, and I think Coop got about 10 extra yards. That's a whole first down. That's a big deal. And so we talk about that a lot, and obviously it brings a ton of excitement. You know, I think even when the defensive guy does it, it brings more excitement, right? Because defensive guys don't have the ball a lot. When you watch Coop's return, you look at the sideline, and I see Slay, like, jump off the bench and just sprint over to it. And, for whatever reason, it brings a lot of excitement. I really wish Saquon's hit on the sideline was on our sideline. I think it would have brought the house down there, but it was on the opposite sideline. But, you know, like, it's a great question because it does bring a ton of energy and juice to the sideline.
Nick, what's one thing you can do differently offensively this week to focus on starting faster?
Yeah, obviously that's a big, that's a big thought process for us, and we're dedicated to do everything we can possibly do to score early, score in the first quarter. We'd love to score on that first drive, and so you know those are things that you go through throughout the week, and you want to do plays that you feel like have the best chance to succeed, so you can get started fast. Every game's a little bit different, and one thing that you think is going to work, the defense's focus is on, and then you got to adjust. I think it's just, you know, what do we do to start fast? And again, like I said, I can't give away all the secrets that we're searching, right? We're searching for it because we haven't been good. It's been 6 games and we haven't scored in the first quarter. So, that's always going to be us putting, as coaches, putting them in positions to succeed and the players executing. And so, that's going to be on our mind. You know, our first and second down plan will be on our mind. And then we're going to, you know, just like always, we're going to talk about, you know, which ones of those first and second down plays can go in there for the openers to ensure that we get off to a hot start.
Nick, similar question, but flipping it to the other side of the ball. What about turnover generation? I don't know if that's the right phrase, but generating turnovers defensively. I mean, you know, you've had 3 phenomenal defensive performances this year at the Saints, obviously the Browns game and the Giants game. But for the totality of the season, 6 games, only 2 turnovers created. And that hasn't gotten as much discussion by us as the offense. How do you get that going?
Yeah, you know, it's just got to constantly be on your mind. I thought we had a really good week of practice last week. As far as taking it away, and you know, that's something that, you know, I take a lot of pride in with the ball is, you know, with every team meeting that we're in, we're focusing on that. And so, you know, having that same focus when we're over there on defensive side, and as myself as the head coach, focusing on that as well. So we put a lot of emphasis in there, and we had a lot of turnovers at practice. But this week, we had one come out. Jalex forced a fumble. We had one on an interception. You know, I'm not sure Daniel Jones would have thrown that ball if he didn't know that we were offsides there. But, you know, I think that our mindset's in the right place. Practices look right. And I kind of compare that sometimes to sacks, where it just kind of, you know, it blows open when it blows open. You know, like obviously these last 2 weeks with our sacks we've generated a lot of sacks, and we're putting in the work to ensure that we have some success here. But make no mistake about it, we got to coach it better and we got to execute it better, because we got to take the football away, and that's a big emphasis that we're thinking about. And sometimes, you know, I think you can think about that and sacrifice the tackle. You can do both. You can be a sound team tackling while also taking the football away. And that was, you know, we've made some major strides in our tackling. I think they showed me the stat. We were 7th in the NFL before last night on missed tackles. And so, you know, it's got to be the same emphasis there on the ball.
Nick, are we a running football team?
Damn right.
Yes!
I think you saw that, you know, anytime you go over 200 yards rushing, you can say that for sure. I think that we've been able to run, since I've been here, we've been able to run the football efficiently. And it goes in ebbs and flows, right? You know how it goes. Sometimes the box is stacked, and you got to be able to throw it. Mm-hmm. And I have so much faith in our, you know, in Jalen and our receivers and our tight ends, and to be able to do that when we need to. But in this game, all right, you do what you need to do to win the football game, right? And that's in this game, it was about the running game. And I don't know where we are ranked in the league. I would assume we're pretty high after, you know. But anytime you go over that 200-yard mark, and I don't know how many times we've done that since I've been here. It feels like a lot. But it's just this great feeling when you're able to do that. And so I think we can, I said, you're right, definitely. We're a running team, but we have the ability to do both things, and the game will dictate that. And we'll try to dictate that. Like, you don't, you know, you're on offense for a reason. So to try to dictate things at the, you know, to the defense. So, but I'm so confident in our offensive line. Right, I didn't even talk about them. Like, regardless of what level of football you play, the games are won and lost up. It starts up front. And I can't say enough about our offensive line. Lane Johnson, one of the best players in the NFL. One of the best players I've ever coached, that's for sure. Landon Dickerson, what a great player. Cam, and then the guys that stepped in, like Fred, you know, Makai's playing really good. And then Fred Johnson steps in and has a nice game. Tyler Steen steps in and has a nice game. And it just feels like, you know, obviously this game presents itself with injuries. And it just feels like here, I can't say enough good things about our offensive line and how he's put together the team. And, you know, we've had guys step in an offensive line and win big games throughout my tenure here. A lot of credit goes to Jeff Stoutland. All the credit goes to the guys, though, of how they prepare and get themselves ready. And so when you got the guys that we have in the room, you can definitely run the football.
Nick, congratulations. Two wins in a row, and we look forward to seeing you guys Sunday in Cincinnati. Good luck in that ball game, Nick.
Hey, and John, we played some fullback football.
I saw. That's awesome. Lead ISO all day, baby. Blow them up.
All right.
Stay well, Nick.
Awesome.
All right, see you next.
Thanks, Nick.
Well, fullback football, love that. Nick Sirianni this morning with Joe and John. Here, the thing that caught everyone's attention, specifically my attention as soon as I heard it, is, are you guys a running team? Yeah, damn right. I mean, that caught me because the Eagles usually push back on that. He did long talk the answer. He did try to mention.
Yeah, I was about to say he long talked.
They want to be balanced. I mean, he did kind of flesh it out. But his initial reaction was, yeah, we're a running team.
Yeah, I think you're a team, whatever team you need to be the week that you're playing. But there has been a heavy emphasis on the running game, and I think it should be, because I think that helps the quarterback out tremendously. I think we're starting to see that now. Jalen might not be the guy we think he is. I mean, and I know a lot of people don't want to hear that, and they don't want to wrap their mind around it. It's starting to look that way.
I mean, you brought this up yesterday, and I didn't want to hear it after a win where they dominated, but here, the reality is they paid $250 million for a quarterback. They paid $100 million for a receiver, about $100 million for another receiver. Are they really going to be a running team with all that money, a quarterback, wide receiver?
Well, I think it's going to be predicated on a week-to-week thing. But if it puts us in position to have more success, then you have to look at it for what it potentially is. You know, we might see Shipley running the ball a little bit more. Like,
we're in a position. I did like him in training camp.
This is a situation, Joe, where we have to figure out what we can do to get our quarterback going. That's a fact.
Well, but it seems like just by the way they've played the last 2 weeks and by the reaction there from Sirianni, I know how they can get their quarterback going. Use him less. It feels like they're saying the best way to win is to have the ball in Jalen Hurts' hands less.
It's skewing that way.
Yeah.
It's skewing that way. So that's okay. I understand that the money's a big issue for a lot of people. There'll be times where Jalen can show that he can do his thing. He got his mojo. But right now, in order for us to get on track, because we're not on track yet, I'll admit that. I feel good about where we're going. What Jalen used to always say, keep the main thing the main thing. Right now, the main thing is to feed the beast. We've been saying that all year long, feed the beast. Let Saquon get his. And after you do that, then you work off of that.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I am skeptical they're actually going to be the running team they say they are, but it might be their best chance to win. 215-592-9494.
94 WIP breaking news.
Yeah, breaking news. NBA season starts tonight. We know the Sixers play their first game tomorrow night in Milwaukee. And Hugh Douglas, when they open that season, open the game tomorrow night in Milwaukee, we will have no Joel Embiid, no Paul George. According to Shams, they're both out for Wednesday's game against the Bucks. Embiid is progressing well and ramping up, scrimmaging this week. He will not play this week. George will be reevaluated later in the week. Another report I saw said Joel Embiid will not play either of the Sixers games this week and will be reevaluated this weekend. So
this
no
is
Paul
a
George.
Joke, quite frankly.
There we go. I am not the George thing makes plenty of sense, right? He hyperextended his knee.
Yeah, he's going to be all right.
Yeah, I think that it's a matter of a couple weeks maybe, and hopefully he'll be good to go.
These are schedule losses.
The Embiid thing is.
We kind of knew this was going to be the case for Embiid a little bit, though. We thought it was going to be every other day, but I guess it's just the beginning of the season.
Yeah, but the issue is every other day is a planned rest. He's still like, what's going on with Joel Embiid? He played in the Olympics.
Trying to keep the big fella ready for the season.
No, I don't buy it. Do you think he's not playing tomorrow because they're trying to keep him healthy? I think he's unhealthy to start the season.
This is the issue with Joel Embiid.
Always.
That everybody has. There's probably a hint of unhealthiness there.
He played in the Olympics.
To keep it under wraps.
Yeah, he was hobbled in the playoffs. Then he played in the Olympics, and now we start
the
season.
Ain't right.
And I don't know what it is. He's not right. They're ramping him up. He was ramped up in the Olympics. So just to pass that news along. No Embiid, no George tomorrow night in Milwaukee. 215-592-9494. You can react to the Embiid news. Not going to play. And again, it's not even like his debut is next week. They're going to reevaluate him this weekend. I have no idea when Joel Embiid's going to play. I feel like I've said that 1,000 times on this radio station over the last 10 years or so. 215-592-9494. Your phone calls. Are you ready to say the Eagles turn the corner? Your reaction to Sirianni saying they are a running team. The Embiid news. Plus, we got Hughes Clues for you for a $50 gift card to Klondike Kate's Restaurant and Saloon in Newark, Delaware. All on the table. Ross Tucker later in the show. 215-592-9494.
Away from your career high. I would love for you to get that, but that's up to you. I just don't want, I'm going to take out all the starters if they don't score.
You good? Let them eat.
You sure?
Yeah, promise.
I'll listen to me. I want you to do it if you want to do it.
So I'll do
it.
I'd rather see the young boys eat.
There was the moment that was referenced a couple times. Sirianni after the game, Howard with us yesterday. The moment on the sidelines, it was captured on camera there. I'm sure no one realized it was going to be captured, but it was. Where Nick Sirianni goes up to Saquon and is like, listen, I'm taking the starters out, but if you want to stay in, get that personal record. You got it. And Saquon said, nah, let the other guys run.
That was pretty cool, man, because I'm pretty sure he was feeling some kind of way, but the smart thing to do was to do exactly what he did. You don't want to take chances going back out there trying to get your personal record and hurt yourself.
Yeah, and I actually think he saved Sirianni from a tough decision because let's say he says, I'd love to get it. Sirianni's going to let him get it, right? He's going to put him on the field.
Going to put him in a situation and go out there and do it.
And we all know what the story is. If he gets hurt,
he's an idiot.
Up 25 points in the fourth quarter in a game that's over, we're killing Sirianni for it. Like, why are you running him? And I know we would realize, and he probably would tell us, it was about the record, but it turned into like a great teammate thing, a good moment for Sirianni because he basically said, it's your call. Everyone came out looking good in that. It was just a good moment. I mean, it was one of those, like, I like how Sirianni handled it. He didn't say, hey, I'd love to get it for you, but I got to pull you out. He basically put it in his hands, and I thought he handled it really well.
Yeah, and he spared the Giants fans more ridicule for all the foolishness they were doing out there. They made it their job, their personals, to go and boo him every time he touched the rock. Yep. I mean, I commend that level of petty. I do. But he saved y'all by not running the rock towards the end because he probably would have got it.
Yeah, there's no doubt he would have. He could have went for 200 if he wanted to. By the way, we just had a drop-off here from our friends over at Primo's. Make game day epic with hoagies and party trays for Primo Hoagies, the official hoagie of Philadelphia football legend Brandon Graham. Order online for this Sunday's game at PrimoHoagies.com. It's not just a hoagie. It's a Primo Hugh. How's your hoagie?
It's pretty good, man. I got the Italian.
Mm-hmm.
Do you break it up?
No, because the bread and stuff, I couldn't break it up. But I take little bites.
Like when you eat a hot dog.
No, when I do a hot dog, I just break that up. Not eating the glizzy.
I think you may have set the record here for the most lopsided poll in WIP history.
Is that right?
In midday show history, at least, which is saying a lot.
Yeah, because usually when I have an opinion, everyone votes the other way. Do you break up hot dogs before you eat them? Hugh Douglas, 97% are voting no. I would gather most of the 3% are voting yes, just for the laugh at it. Just
no, I think it's the other way around. No. I think they're voting. I think they're voting yes because they're voting no because they're trying to be funny.
I think everybody is like, "What the hell is this?"
I've never known a grown up that breaks up their hot dogs.
I break them up. I don't eat the whole hot dog. I break them up. It's a habit. It's not like I'm sitting there saying, "Oh my gosh, somebody's looking at me." This is a habit.
So why don't you just stop?
I mean, because number one, I don't eat that many hot dogs, but when I do, I tend to break them up. It's just what I do. I'm not a big hot dog eater.
You're just dancing around the why, though.
No, I'm not.
You are.
I'm not.
All right, hold on. Did you do this when you were a child, or did it develop as you became an adolescent and an adult?
I would probably say it probably developed as I got older.
I thought so, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, as a child, yeah. You don't know no better. Hell, I used to eat chitlins.
I would say you don't know better as an adult based on this conversation.
Hell, I used to eat chitlins when I was younger. I don't eat them now because I know better. I mean, but I used to love them.
No better than to what?
Not eat chitlins?
No. You're dancing around.
No, I'm not dancing around. I'm just
saying. I get the chitlins thing. Once you realize what chitlins are,
man,
you're
when
out.
I figured out what chitlins were. And I remember grandma used to be in there talking about, you got to clean them real good. Oh. And I didn't realize what she was cleaning. Oh. When I started to learn how to read, I'm like, no, I'm cool. I'm cool on chitlins.
Yeah,
excuse me.
That's gross.
That is disgusting.
Let's go to TR in Winfield. What's up, TR? TR?
Yo, I'm sorry, yo.
I mean, come good? On.
What's up, TR?
Oh, nothing, man. We approaching the corner. We ain't there yet, man. Like, then it's because we beat the Giants, man. Nah. Get to the playoffs, then we start talking about turning some corners.
There we go. At least get to the playoffs.
Yeah. Get to the playoffs first, man.
No, I mean, I feel you.
Let's do that. We don't want to jump the gun so soon. And shout out to Saquon, man. You know, to say, I heard what he said, let the young boy eat. That's good character, man. I can have old duels with him, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's good. I like that character in him.
Yeah, that's non-alcoholic.
You know what he is? He's a great player, and he's obviously a good teammate. He seems like a good guy. And I think he helped Sirianni there, so you didn't have to put him back on the field in the blah. TR, give us a guess here for Hugh's Clues. What's Hugh talking about today?
I don't know. Maybe ripping his jeans sitting down or something.
Ripping your jeans sitting down.
Ripping my jeans.
Have you done that lately? TR,
man,
appreciate
listen,
it.
Listen, I wear a stretchy pants. Like, that's the best invention on the planet is the stretchy pants, the stretchy jeans. Man, listen.
Wait, you don't have regular jeans?
No, they make stretchy jeans. They make the stretchy clothes. The stretchy clothes. And I remember initially when I got a pair, I was like against it.
Yeah.
But then I like the stretchy clothes. You get them a little bit bigger and they stretch. They're more comfortable. And you know, the other, they're just more comfortable.
I thought those were for women when they're pregnant.
No. Like, most of the jeans, most of the stuff now that they make, Joe, is that breathable fabric.
Yeah.
I forgot what the blend is. But they make blue jeans like that. Mostly everything is made like that now because a lot of the kids like to wear skinny jeans.
Mm, oh, yeah.
So they make the fabric where it's more flexible.
Mm.
So, yeah, that's everything now. You'll be hard-pressed to find some dad jeans unless you just want to rock dad jeans.
I just thought all jeans have the regular waist. I didn't know about
the stretchy
thing.
No, it's the whole pant. It's not just the waist. It's not the stretchy waistband.
Oh, it's the whole thing.
It's the whole thing. It's like, I don't know what they call it, but it's like the flex material or whatever.
I learned something new every single day on this show.
Most of the jeans are the flex material jeans now.
All right, we have flex material jeans. We also have Hugh's Clues today. $50 gift card to Klondike Kate's Restaurant and Saloon in Newark, Delaware. Next hour, we'll give you a third clue. We got to help the people here. You need a third clue. We'll get that coming up to you. 215-592-9494. Are you ready to say the Eagles have turned the corner? I'm not. Hugh is. Kyle is. Based on a pair of wins over, you know, the Giants and the Browns, certainly looking really good this past Sunday on the defense side of the football. Are you ready to say the Eagles have turned the corner? We'll get to your phone calls coming up, your guesses for Hugh's Clues, and we'll check back in on the polls, including this hot dog poll that is really the most lopsided thing I have ever seen. And also, on the other side, something the NFL did yesterday that maybe signifies how they feel about the Philadelphia Eagles and if they've turned the corner. That's coming up. Your calls. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.